Hey, listen, nerds. You're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That's right, nerds. We're done screwing around with April Fool's Day. Now it's time to get down to business. The business of the answer of the week.
Business.
Where we play your answers to the question of the week. And then Joe and I will go ahead and answer it ourselves. But before we move along, I need Joe Patrick to tell me, because I can't remember, what do we ask the listeners?
You really spelled it all out for them.
I know.
I mean, it's going to unfold right before them like magic.
Let them know.
This week's question: what is your favorite alternate reality version of an existing character? We're talking like Ultimate Spider-Man, Batman as a vampire from those vampire books, you know, that sort of thing. Inspired by the announcement of Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse, yes.
Yes.
Let's start off with Cameron Labrillo. He called us a couple days ago after he called me out on Twitter. Saying, whatever, Matt Baum's all excited for Spider-Verse. I was like...
Yeah, Cameron Labrillo.
An angry young man.
Dude needs to lighten up.
Yeah, I'll tell you
it's
what.
Comics, bro.
Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, good nerd. This is Cameron Labrillo over in sunny Council Bluffs, Iowa. This question was kind of a head-scratcher because I think I thought too hard about it. The more I thought about it, I didn't know if you meant like Elseworlds or if you meant like the Marvel Now version of characters we grew up with, such as Moon Knight. It was a tough one.
Not that second
but
one.
But I guess the only way to answer it properly is to answer that I like Ryan Brown's alternate version of tough-working father and cop Carl Winslow appearing within God Hates Astronauts as Gnarled Winslow. Easily the best alternate take on a character we all know and love. Of course, Gorilla Arms now. And a wife that hates him hanging out with superheroes, understandably. So, anyway, Gnarled Winslow, because I don't understand the question fully enough to answer elsewise. So, thank you. Bye.
Well, it was pretty cut and dry, Cam.
And it didn't
Come
stop
on,
you
man.
From calling in, so...
And your answer counted, so I feel like you did understand.
You know what happens when other people don't understand the question? They ask me on Twitter.
It's true. And we clarify.
But...
you should expect this kind of obfuscation from us.
You answered it. I think that's a great...
It counts.
Yeah.
Love it.
And probably the most creative answer we'll get all night.
Gnarls Winslow. Related yeah. to Gnarls Barkley. Not many people know that. Moving right along. Let's get back to the right side of the river. Mr. Harvey Locust calling us from Omaha, Nebraska.
For those of you that don't know, Council Bluffs is on the other side of the river from Omaha.
The river. Yeah. That's not, you know, I mean, whatever. We're not judging them. They're good people, I'm sure.
Hey, nerd. Harvey Locust here. My answer this week is going to be Lady Spock from the new Star Trek books. I believe it's issue 29 and 30. If you guys haven't been reading the new Star Trek stuff, you should be. It's totally some of my favorite stuff that's coming out right now. Well written, always well drawn. Even, I mean, if they do tend to go for the look of the, you know, the people on the movies, but other than that, I think it's a really excellent book. Yes.
Sounds like he got cut off.
I think it's a really excellent book. Yes. Yes, I agree. Although I think it's...
Do they call her Lady Spock or do they just call her Spock?
No, they call her Spock Girl.
They do not.
Yeah, like Thor Girl. Remember Thor Girl?
Yeah,
how
I do.
How dumb that was? No, they don't call her Lady Spock. They just call her Spock. It's an alternate reality where they're all women. And when this storyline started, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I hate this. This is going to be dumb. I totally love it.
Because you hate women.
I was wrong. Star Trek so
you
great.
You hate gender equality.
I was wrong about women, but not wrong about gender equality.
Wait. Hold on.
I know. Wrap your head around that. I don't hate women. I love women. I love women. I don't hate them. Ooh. Matt McNabb is the first man.
It's probably
to hit us with an
can
MP3.
Can we just say McNabb?
No way. It's McNabb. I want to say it that way. He's the first dude to hit us with an MP3 this week, and he hit us right away. Boom. Sunday. Wham. Done. Let's see what he had.
I mean, that was like 2 days after I posted the question, but
still, he was number one.
He was number one, not taking that away.
Hey, do it a nerd. It's Matt McNabb at Matt_McNabb on Twitter.
See,
so as it turns out, the Jersey Shore is getting nothing but rain on my spring break, so I thought I'd take some time in between my viewings of Frozen to answer this week's question of the week. But seriously, I've watched Frozen like 3 times in the past 5 days. Anyway, I've only been reading comics for a little over 2 years, and in that time, I've pretty much just taken over my life. Right around the time I started reading Comics Weekly, all the DC books were advertising Batman Earth One. With its cheap cover price, it was the first original graphic novel I bought. To be completely honest, when I first read this, I thought it tied in the New 52. It wasn't until a while after I realized it was something entirely different. People seem to complain a lot about Geoff Johns changing characters in the New 52, so the Earth One book seemed like a great place for him to make crazy changes, like making Alfred a shotgun-wielding badass, or making Bruce's mom in Arkham. I'm not gonna spoil anything, but the story was awesome, and there's one scene in particular with Bullock at the end that's just amazing. I can't wait for the second volume to come out. In regards to the rest of the Earth One line, I never read Superman because I heard it wasn't that good. But I'm super pumped for Wonder Woman and the Teen Titans. Anyway, back to Frozen. Let it go,
let it go. I can't get away from this goddamn song! Let it go, let
it go. He'll never see me cry. Alright, I'm cutting that off. Dear God.
What if he comes back in at the end?
Have you seen, there's on The Soup last week, they had like their internet clip and it was this little girl getting a sliver removed from her knee and she's screaming the lyrics of that song while her mom is pulling the sliver.
Fantastic.
No, I haven't. I do love The Soup though.
Now, Joe Patrick and I.
Let's talk about The Soup for a half hour.
We'll do that on our soup cast.
Okay.
Joe Patrick and I also read the Earth One graphic novel and we reviewed it for our Take a Look. It's in a book segment.
We sure did.
This was like 17 years ago. I don't remember.
Yeah, at least.
We both said, too bad they didn't just New 52 this because this is a great story.
Yeah, yeah.
And just bam, here's your new Batman. I would have been heavy into it.
I'll be honest with you. I can't remember what we said, so he could be making this up for all I know.
No, we both totally said that. Geoff Johns, Gary Frank, I would have been heavy into that.
Yeah, it was great.
Way into it.
At the very least, I think we both agreed that they should have just started Batman from scratch and not tried to shoehorn in his continuity. Anyway.
Earth One Batman.
I love Batman Earth One.
Great
and
answer.
I think that is a great answer.
Great answer.
Matt, Mac McNabb, thanks for calling in.
You called him Mac McNabb.
Yeah, I sure did.
I like that. Mick McNabb.
Mick McNabb. How about Mick McNabb? I like that better.
Let's jump to Randy Andrews. I'm trying to guess what he's going to say, but I just don't have it. He's too unpredictable. Guy's a wild man.
It's a wild card.
He's a wild man.
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Yeah, let's see where he's going.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews with the question of the week. This wasn't too hard. I immediately thought of Spider-Man 2099. Who else has skipped around reality like Miguel O'Hara? He is currently stuck in 2013 thanks to some time storms. He's been on Earth 928, crossing over with our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. On Earth 616, he went up against Thanatos. He teamed up with Captain Marvel. He even fought Venom 2099. Wow, this guy's been through all sorts of realities, even teaming up with the Exiles and Sue Storm in Savage Land. So he is definitely my favorite. My second, of course, would be Deathhead. That's my answer, guys. Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. See you later.
The dude loves soundtracks.
He really does.
I love soundtracks too.
I mean, we were hearing like the Hobbit in the background.
Big time Hobbit in the background. Yeah. Howard Shore. Good at what he does.
Yeah. Look, I can't fault him. Spider-Man 2099.
I love Spider-Man 2099. Great. I love that it's coming back. I love Peter David's writing it again.
Yeah.
Totally love it. Although Rick Leonardi still around.
He's still around. Yeah.
Go get that guy. Rick's great.
I like Rick Leonardi a lot, but we haven't seen him draw a comic in so long.
Wrong. He was doing that.
The Black Sherlock, Watson and Holmes.
Watson and Holmes.
Yeah, you're right.
The Black Sherlock Holmes book. And it looks great. He's still around and he kicks ass on that book.
Oh, man.
And it's a great book.
Oh. It wouldn't have been hard.
I mean, really. I'll call Joey Q when we get done.
Yeah, we'll call him up. We got his Selly number.
Who's drawing it now?
Will Sliney, Slinny.
You're fired, Sliney. You heard it here first. You're fired. Folks, I have terrible news. Our very own Tokyo Tranny boy, Georgie, hit us with an MP3 for the first time. He was saying he hoped he made it on time. It didn't attach. We didn't get anything.
It's attached. It's attached. He even tweeted at me and said, did you get it? And I said, yeah, I got it.
But check it out. It sounds like this. That's it.
Nothing. George, I'm really sorry, man. It looked like it was here, but We got nothing.
We want to hear it. We want to hear it. He even tweeted at Joe and asked what boundaries he shouldn't cross.
That's right.
That is the kind of thing that will get you mentioned on this show.
I was expecting something just horrific that I would be ashamed to share with my mother.
Oh, man. I was too. I was so excited. You know who's not afraid to cross boundaries? My boy, Shonix. Let's see what he had to say.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Alternate reality teams. Alternate realities ever. I'm always going to answer. I mean, I'm always going to call in. I don't know if I don't. There's sometimes I forget. But anyway, I'll always call in when they're alternate realities because I love them. What ifs, Elseworlds. I just think it's great when these companies take these characters that we know and just kind of turn them on their heads or make them for the better in some cases, in my opinion. But anyway, this focus, my favorite alternate reality team would be the Six, which was a take on the original X-Men team. That this was Earth 1298, and on Earth 616, Havoc, quote unquote, dies in a plane crash and is ported, or a plane explosion, sorry, and is ported to the world of Earth 1298, where he inhabits that Havoc's body. Well, that Havoc's body is the leader of the Six. And Havoc is the leader because Cyclops didn't make it. Havoc was the sole survivor of his parents' plane crash. And you had the original X-Men team kind of sprinkled in there. And then you had Storm. But Storm was Bloodstorm. She never got cured of Dracula's bite.
Oh,
Angel was the Fallen, who still met up with Apocalypse, but he got these bat-type wings. And he was more demonic than he was anything. He was a little bit more scarier, in my opinion. The blue skin really kind of worked for him. You had Iceman, who never got... In the 616 universe, Loki kind of messed with his powers a couple different times. I think twice, maybe. But in this world, he never got him fixed. So he couldn't... He was always cold. So, you know, he was a little bit on the darker side, but he also had his, you know, the Bobby Drake quipness and the fun and all that good stuff. You had Beast, who was Brute, and he was green, and he had hooves, and he had gills, and he could swim underwater, and he just was a fantastic design, and I really liked him because he was kind of, he was the dumb character of the team, but I had a lot of fun with him reading that book. But and then you had Marvel Girl, which was Madeline Pryor, which was a cool take, but, you know, what happens with Madeline Pryor, she becomes the Goblin Queen. But it was really neat seeing this Havoc of 616 at the helm of this team where you really didn't know. It was like they were a group of anti-heroes. You know, they were doing the good fight, but they also, you know, this world that they lived in was really gray. And I really loved that. You really didn't know who was going to be a good guy, who was going to be a bad guy. But some of the bad guys did good and vice versa. So, I mean, some of the bad ones did bad, but, you know, very, very, very fun read. I think everybody should go and check it out. I had a lot of fun with it, but that would be my favorite alternate reality team, the Six. Thanks, guys. Keep them coming. Peace out.
Props to Shonix for finding a way around our one answer rule.
No, I said teams as well.
You named a team. Which is cool. Great answer. I loved Mutant X.
Mutant X was awesome. I fell off it after Tom Rainey drew it for a while, but like everything Tom Rainey starts to draw, he falls off it after a while.
Yeah.
So I kind of lost track of it towards the middle, but I loved that book. It was really good.
It was totally great.
It will probably, like, I don't often say that I really love things that Howard Mackey wrote.
Yeah, that was
Howard Mackey, a writer from the popular in the 90s that you don't see much anymore.
I loved Howard Mackey's X-Factor. Loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
I think we've talked about Howard Mackey's X-Factor before on the show.
Yeah, with Forge and...
Sabretooth and Mystique.
Forge was running the team. Sabretooth and Mystique were there. Polaris was running around all crazy.
Shard.
Yeah, Shard and Legion was there for a while.
Legion was there?
Yeah, he showed up for a
while. Being there.
He showed up for a while. Hmm. It was great. Oh, I loved it.
That's a good answer, Sean. Thanks for calling, buddy.
This next one, gotta be Willy Toots.
Gotta be.
He hides himself under the name Cox Email. Let's see.
Greetings, fools.
Big
it
time.
Is I, Willy the Toots, and this is my answer of the week. Now, although this was a very difficult question for me, I think I've got it. I did have to go and revisit my top picks to whittle them down to a single one. But boy.
And we think
it was tough. There's been a lot of great alternate reality versions of characters over the years.
True that.
Anyways, here we go. I'm going to have to go with the Bruce Wayne / Batman from the Gotham by Gaslight storyline. Why? Because, yeah, Batman barely appears in the book. And there's not much to him. He's a pretty simple design. But that book really captured me. And not only that, it was the gateway book to get me into DC Comics. Growing up, as a kid, I didn't read any DC. In high school, I don't think I read any DC. But when that book came out, I was like, holy, whoa, this is a cool take on Batman. And it actually opened the door to other Elseworld stories. And I gobbled them all up. And I thought, wow, these versions of the characters are really cool. They're cooler than the versions in the regular DCU. Because I thought everyone just had goofball names in the DC universe. It was boy this, lad that, man this. Come up with some original names, DC. So I stayed away from DC Comics. But Gotham by Gaslight, I thought was such a great original story that it just hooked me right away. Now, for my runner-ups, which I hate to discount because they were great, I'm going to go on to the THN forums like a good loyalist.
Love this guy.
Like we all should. And put my runner-ups, and there they will see the light of day. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your patience. Oh, boy. Keep them questions coming. Because we all want to give you an answer and be a part of this great thing you got going on.
Oh.
Good night.
I got to wipe a tear out of my eye after that. Willie Toots, playing by the rules. I'll tell you what.
It's inspirational.
If only everybody could give who'd play by the rules.
Well, so far, everyone has played by the rules.
So far, everybody has. No, that's true. You've all played by the rules, and I appreciate it.
I don't know. There's five of you left, so who knows?
And I am going to go on the Twitter Nerd forums, and I'm going to list my alternates because I have a bunch, and it was actually tough for me to whittle it down, but I ended up picking one.
Not me, man.
I picked one.
Not me. I didn't even have to think about it.
Really?
Really.
You just knew yours.
Yep.
Let's see if Jason Sachs knows his.
Sexier.
Take it away, Sexier.
Hey, guys. Jason Sachs here, at Jason Sachs on the Twitter. Let me tell you about my favorite alternate reality hero story. What If, number 13, cover dated February 1979 by the classic Conan creative team of Roy Thomas, John Buscema, and Ernie Chan. It's a little thing called What If Conan Walked the Earth Today? Now, you may wonder, what happens when Conan walks the earth, the streets of New York, beginning on July 13th, 1977? The answer is he becomes even more awesome than he was in the distant past. See, through a series of unexpected and wacky events, Conan absolutely dominates the 20th century. He smashes a taxi whose driver is a hot redhead, who, strangely enough, has the same name as Roy Thomas's girlfriend. He gets confused with Arnold Schwarzenegger 5 years before the first Conan movie. He mugs a New Yorker basically without meaning to, and eventually ends up wearing a badass pimp outfit, an awesomely 70s disco ensemble, complete with an open shirt, white shoes, and a badass Panama hat, which he complements by walking around with his pet jaguar on a leash. He attacks a group of weirdo glam rockers with a wonderful phrase, "Be gone, wizards, warlocks, or whatever you are," which is probably what their moms were thinking. Then gets beaten about the head and shoulders by an old lady who is offended by a man running around New York in just fur boots and a loincloth. The only downside is that he can't figure out how to eat a slice of New York pizza. Poor guy, that's good stuff. My favorite scene is one in which Conan, his muscles straining, attacks a Volkswagen Beetle, flipping the car upside down with his bare hands, just basically because he can. In fact, that phrase, "just basically because he can," applies to many scenes in this comic. It's cheap and fun and has never been reprinted, so buy it. Enjoy the hell out of writing old paper, because What If Conan Walked the Earth Today is awesome.
Right on. I love that issue.
It's got a great Bill Sienkiewicz cover.
Oh, yeah. It's Conan with the like with a the Magnum, gun,
right?
Like, yeah. Holding a 357. Yeah, that was a great, super iconic cover, too. Love that book.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about that comic is Conan in the pimp outfit.
There was also some weird subliminal SOS clicking going on in the background. So
maybe he needs help.
Could be. Are they hurting you?
Quick, somebody send help to Jason Sachs.
Jason, are they hurting you?
I have no idea where he is.
Brian Domingos was right there. Just seconds after Jason Sachs, as a matter of fact. Let's see what Domingos has.
Hey, guys. It's Brian Domingos. I'm not late, I don't think, but I almost was. The answer of the week question is about alternative versions of characters, and you only want one answer, so my whole answer is the JSA that appeared in the Liberty Files, the Unholy Three. It starts with the clock and the owl and the bat, and they are cool, and they have good designs and interesting characters, and then the Unholy Three has the rest of them with Starman and Sandman, or, you know, the Sand, and Sandman and Lantern and Hawk and Huntress and, you know, the Flash. And there's even a cool Flash action figure that is, he's got a little French mustache, and despite that, he's even still cool. But the good designs by Tony Harris and a good story by Harris and Dan Jolly, and the first one has great coloring by Matt Hollingsworth, and you can't go wrong with that ever. So that's my answer. Thanks.
I love JSA the Liberty Files.
It was great.
Love them.
Now, what about when it came back?
To be perfectly fair, I stopped reading after the second issue of JSA the Liberty Files : The Whistling Skull.
This is my one word review of it.
What? It seemed to me at the... After the first couple, it seemed to me that Tony Harris somehow tricked DC into letting him bring back JSA the Liberty Files, only to quickly pull the rug out from under them and present a Whistling Skull story instead, because I don't remember the JSA appearing more than one or two pages in the first two issues of that series.
If that.
Now, I will go back and reread it. I didn't finish it, so I can't judge it completely.
It was a mess.
I just remember not being super sold on the first two.
It was a mess.
But JSA the Liberty Files and the sequel, The Unholy Three, love them. Love them.
Me too.
Great answer, Brian. Great answer.
Get on your mic a little more when you talk, man.
Great answer, there, Brian. Awesome stuff.
Check it out, guys. He can't be stopped. His name's Roderick Ruth. You've heard about him before. He's got the post-con blues. He was just at Emerald City Comic Con. He's a little blue. So, you know, let's cheer him up, guys.
But he still made it.
He still made it.
Joseph Matthew Roderick Ruth here, at Roderick Ruth on Twitter, and cutting it close, but I'm emailing in for the answer of the week. I'm keeping it to one answer, like you guys said, and I'm going to go with Vance Astro, a.k.a. Major Victory, member of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, the one from the 31st century and from Earth 691. Anyway, he's the alternate counterpart to Vance Astrovik, who is also known in the current 616 universe as Justice, you know, from New Warriors and Avengers fame. Vance Astro is basically a space psychokinetic version of Captain America, and he actually ran around with Captain America's shield. So, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It's true, he did.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
He was cool as hell. I loved Vance Astro.
He had a mullet. When he became Major Victory, or Captain Victory? Major Victory.
Major Victory.
When he became Major Victory and was freed from the containment suit that preserved him for 1,000 years.
I liked him in the containment suit, personally.
He had a flowing black mullet.
Well, he hadn't cut his hair for 1,000 years.
With a headband and a sleeveless, unbuttoned denim trench coat.
Hey, man, he had been in that containment unit for 1,000 years. He's letting it all hang out.
Which covered a sleeveless version of the Captain America costume.
Not bad. Those sleeves always got in Cap's way anyway.
And he did carry Captain America's shield, which was the crux of the very first storyline when Jim Valentino brought the Guardians of the Galaxy back in the 90s, the search for Captain America's shield. 1,000 years had gone by. It was an artifact, but it's indestructible, man.
Yeah.
It's still Cap's shield.
It's around there somewhere.
Powerful weapon.
There you go.
Here's a fun fact, since we have time, about Vance Astro. The differences between Vance Astro and Vance Astrovik.
Well, one has Ick at the end of his name.
Let me tell you, Vic
at the end of his name.
That's right. Vance Astro appeared for the first time in that Guardians of the Galaxy story in the 60s, where they introduced him, Marvel Superheroes number 18, I think, in like 1968 or something like that. He was a spaceman, an astronaut that had been placed.
I think the technical term is spaceman.
He was an astronaut that had been placed inside of a containment suit and launched into space. And he was stuck in suspended animation for 1,000 years.
Brutal bummer.
Brutal bummer. So he was running around in the future as a 20th century man in the future. But he could never take off the containment suit because the second he did, his body would age to dust.
The man out of time. That's just right. Like Cap.
At some point, prior to the Guardians of the Galaxy comeback in the early 90s,
right,
there was a story in either The Thing ongoing or Marvel 2-in-1, also starring The Thing.
Right. He was all over the place.
I think it was Marvel 2-in-1, where Vance Astro tries to go back in time to the 20th century and convince his younger counterpart, Vance Astrovic, don't go into space. Whatever you do, don't do it. It's the worst. Right. You're going to end up trapped in this hellish suit, living a walking nightmare. And all he manages to do, like everything in the Marvel Universe, time travel does you no good.
Yeah, never
does. All he did was split his timeline off from the main Marvel timeline that we know now, thus ensuring his future forever.
Son of a bitch.
Vance Astrovic, who we have now as Justice,
right,
grew up to be the hero that we know in the New Warriors and all that stuff.
Okay.
And the meeting between the two caused their powers to be different. Vance Astrovic, Justice, has telekinetic powers. He can move things with his mind. Vance Astro, the spaceman from the future, has psychokinetic powers. He can only shoot like force blasts, like psychic beams of power.
Man, time travel is a bitch.
Yeah. Alternate realities, bro.
Whoa.
And now you know, and I can see Aura's boner from here.
There you go.
Vance, I think I made that joke once already.
You did. Vance Astrovic, related to Michael Vick. Not many people know that. Not many people know that.
Roderick Ruth. You know I love that answer, buddy.
Guy can't be stopped. Bradley Moore at the buzzer from 3 points. Let's see what he's got.
Still listeners, 3 minutes late, Brad.
Hey, listeners, it's the amazing Spider Brad swinging into action. And when I'm not acting like Vladimir Putin in Crimea or Matt Bomb at a child's pageantry and invading things that I know I do not belong in, I'm whipping up my answer to the question of the week.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Superman, strange visitor from another world who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, as the champion of the common worker, fights a never-ending battle for Stalin, socialism, and the international expansion of the Warsaw Pact. Superman, pride of the Soviet state, symbol of our military might, let our enemies beware. There is only one superpower now.
Privyet, bitches. That's right. Mark Miller's Superman Red Sun. That's my answer for the question of the week. I freaking peed my pants when I read this comic. Not actually, but seriously, you gotta have something around because this is one of the best comic books I've ever read in my entire life. Just the idea of Superman landing in Russia and all his good old boy American, even the beginning here, Mom, Apple Pie, Chevrolet, and Superman. The fact that that's in Russia is insane. The fact that Mark Millar brought that up is insane. I love it. I can't get over this. I've even written thesis papers on this freaking comic book before.
Wow.
Just because of the imagery, the comparisons to the USSR during the Cold War are absolutely spot on. Miller did a great job. You know, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of excerpts today because I want everyone in the world to read this. I think it's the smartest comic book ever. All right, so this is after Stalin died. This is Superman. This is how good of a job Millar ingrained the communist ideal into Superman, the perfect man. Why should the fact that I was born with privileges qualify me as a leader of Socialist Republic? I'm sorry, comrades, but the very idea of this is in complete contradiction to everything we were ever raised to believe in. This right here is the example that, oh look, in a vacuum, communism could work. When the leader is the perfect man, there's nothing you can do to stop it. But of course, you got awesome fuzzy hat Russian Batman to get in the way. Here's a little narration for that. Batman, a force of chaos in my world of perfect order, the dark side of the Soviet dream, rumored to be 1,000 murdered dissidents. They said he was a ghost, a walking dead man. That's right, I'm out of time. Das Vidanya, bitches. Hit me up on the Twitters at AMZSpiderBrad. Have a good one, everybody.
I did love Comrade Batman. He was awesome. I loved Superman Red Son, too. That was a fantastic Elseworlds.
Fun fact, Brad Moore, communist.
Yeah, didn't know. There you go.
I don't know if that's true or not. But
oh, he's a total commie. Trust me.
Superman Red Son. I mean, yeah.
Great pick.
People liked it.
You want to go first or should I? What do you want to do?
You go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
I'll go first.
Why not?
I always make Joe Patrick go first, so I'm going to go first this time. I agonized over this because there's so many characters that I love. But ultimately, I knew I was going to end in the Age of Apocalypse universe because I adore that storyline. It's Astonishing X-Men. And for the first time, we meet Blink, and she's running around, and she's like in trouble. We don't know exactly what's chasing her, but we know that she's scared, and she's running from something, and she's talking about how the X-Men are outlaws, and the world is totally different, and we had no idea what was going on. We were just thrust in this storyline, and she runs into this room where she's like cut off, and I can't remember who was chasing her. It was like Sentinels or something were chasing her, and she comes into the room, and there's a shadowy figure there that says, "Get behind me." And she was like, "In this dark, terrifying world, there was one person that I was more glad."
This is a really good answer.
Anyone else?
This is a really good answer.
Victor Creed.
Yeah.
Sabretooth. Yeah. I was saying, I thank God for the day that I met Victor Creed, Sabretooth. And it's Sabretooth standing with these metal gloves on that cover his claws, so he can't kill anyone with them anymore. I loved Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth. He was a good guy. He had Wild Child on a leash.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And it, man, that flipped my lid. It just, oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I really liked Magneto as the leader of the school, too. That was cool. But Sabretooth, Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth, that is my answer. Joe Patrick, what's yours?
Man, that is a good pick.
Oh, I loved that character.
That's a really good pick. For me, I didn't really even have to think about it. There is no other answer in my heart of hearts. And even though their status as alternate reality versions or whatever has been revoked and reinstated a number of different times, I'm still going to go with the original alternate reality best super team, first super team, the Justice Society of America.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, you'll allow
it. I'll allow it.
If you will, I will go so far as to say that Earth 2 is my favorite alternate reality.
Okay.
The original version of Earth 2. It wasn't always that way. Like, obviously, in the Golden Age, they weren't riding towards the future.
Right.
They didn't think these things would last. They thought they were transient.
Right.
That the audience would grow up and grow out of it, and they'd be forgotten.
And they all did, and we never saw comics again.
Right. And obviously, that's not the case. People latched onto them, and though they faded from popularity in the mid-50s, DC Comics editor Julius Schwartz very famously resurrected these concepts in the form of the Silver Age characters that we know, Barry Allen, Hal Jordan,
right,
the Justice League, Ray Palmer, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. With the issue Flash, I think 123 is Flash of Two Worlds, where Jay Garrick and Barry Allen meet. And then you realize, oh, shit. It's an alternate reality. All those things that you read about back then are still happened. You know, they exist in a parallel dimension.
It was a cool idea, especially like way back in the day. Man.
Yeah.
Some forward thinking.
It's a brain bender.
Like, nerdy bullshit.
It's a brain bender. And I just love the idea. Earth 2, well, of course, they did have, you know, trials and terrible things happened.
Sure.
Just like any comic book story. Earth 2 was kind of the world where, I don't want to say everything went right, because that's not what I mean. It's like the characters made good, right? Like Batman, yeah, and Superman were able to, they had successors and family, and there was Earth 2 is the genesis of that DC legacy that we don't shut up about on the show. That's that world, the world where Superman has a cousin named Power Girl and he married Lois Lane, and a Batman married Catwoman, and they have a daughter named the Huntress, and Robin is still running around as Robin even though he's a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, whatever.
Wait, I just love that idea that these characters were allowed to grow and change, even though the world was for a number of years kind of stuck in World War II. They did jump it forward and allow it to grow, and they made additions to it with the second generation and characters like Huntress and Power Girl, like I said. I love Earth 2. I love the Justice Society. And even though in the mid-80s they rewrote continuity so that they weren't an alternate reality version, they were the inspiration.
That's fine.
I'm counting it.
I'll count it. All right. I'll give it to you.
For decades, that's how it was viewed.
Right. You bent the rules a little bit, but you didn't break them.
A little bit. And I'm going to tell you why I picked them. The first time I saw a guy with blonde hair and a long purple cape called Green Lantern, and I don't know how old I was, but I was like, what is that? What is that? Who is that guy? That's not Green Lantern. I want to know more about that guy.
Alan Scott. Sentinel.
From the second I saw it for the first time, I was completely hooked. Earth 2.
His weakness was wood. You could beat him up with a baseball bat. It was a different time.
If you could get a hold of him, yeah.
You sneak up behind Alan Scott and crack him over there with a baseball bat, that fight's over. Thanks for all your answers, guys. This one was super fun. Normally, we would announce the next question of the week on the show, the Twitter Nerd Comic Book Podcast, but we're taking this weekend off. I'm out of town. Joe Patrick can't bring himself to do it because he would just cry his eyes out the whole time.
I can't betray you like that.
So, Joe Patrick, why don't you tell the kids what the question of the week is for next week?
Look, we all know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Big time.
The Winter Soldier.
Big time.
Hits theaters. Not Friday. Tomorrow.
Thursday. We're going.
Well, okay. By the time you hear this, it will be... Today. Already out. It will already be out.
When is now? Can you rewind to then?
We want to know. Just hit us. Hit us with your honest Captain America, the Winter Soldier reviews. What did you think? What did you love? What did you hate?
Full on spoilers allowed.
How do you feel about how it forwarded the Marvel movie universe? All that stuff. Yeah, but still, let's not write theses about it.
Keep it short.
It's still, you still got time limit.
You guys did a kick-ass job this week keeping it short.
That's right.
Everyone can get in. Spoilers allowed, no rules, but keep it short and concise.
Well, there are rules. So keep it short and concise, and
those are the rules.
PG-13.
Two rules. And guys, we'll be back next week with an answer of the week. And, of course, you don't have to worry. The Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast will return.
It's not going anywhere.
It ain't going nowhere. I promise you. Good news is there's no new comics this week. Nothing discussed.
Yeah.
And all the publishers contacted us and promised us no news. So don't worry about it. It's all good. Everybody take a week off. We'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Or whatever.
If I don't die.
Let's be real. Any of us could die.
It's true.
We're all slowly dying,
Matt. Killed. Walking your doggy.
Hey, nerds, if you got an answer to the question of the week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894 or using the Skype username Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the answer of the week section of the THN forums.
I get killed for telling you this.
Kill walking your doggy.
All right.